This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. You can join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler Longview residents make their lives even better. As always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show or any topic you would like us to consider airing at ktbb.com/infocus. My guest today is Art Hill. He's the pastor for Trinity Lutheran Church. He's here with Roy Bell, who is apparently an all-around good guy with hands-on with nearly everything at the church. Are these introductions correct?
Well, except that I'm a retired pastor now. I've been retired for nearly 5 years. So.
Okay. Well, we've got you as retired and you as a hard worker.
That's correct.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning.
Now, we've had these two gentlemen on the show today to talk about disaster response relief. So let's just start. And Art, I'll start with you. Talk to me about this.
We're part of Trinity Lutheran Church here in Tyler. It's a 90-some-year-old congregation, probably the largest Lutheran church between Dallas and Shreveport. It was my privilege and honor to be the pastor there for over 21 years. And so during the last 8 or 9 years, we have noticed the need in our community and others to provide physical help for people that have gone through natural disasters. We started by helping with a tornado cleanup in the Mesquite area of Dallas. Saw that people were on the scene way too late, and we just came back home feeling like, hey, we can make a difference, but doing it in a more up-to-speed, real-time way.
How do you accomplish that?
We have morphed over time from picking up trash in 5-gallon buckets after the effect to doing disaster cleanup in the Beaumont area following Hurricane Harvey. We spent months down there traveling between Beaumont over into Orange. We've helped with flood control in Baton Rouge. We have gone as far east as Panama City, Florida, and Mexico Beach, Florida. We've been to Iowa for a derecho, which is a sustained wind that's a mile and a half wide, similar to a tornado, but without the twisting effect.
Well, one hit Tyler two years ago.
Yeah, in the Hawkins area.
Actually, another one this year.
In Lindale, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So we've done muckouts, but we've really morphed into a SAW team. At this point, we are very well equipped with nearly 30 chainsaws of different sizes, 3 enclosed trailers. We have a self-sustained unit that we can carry water. We put a bathroom in this enclosed trailer so that we can be first responders.
That was
generators it. And the whole shebang. We're nationally trained because safety is of utmost importance.
So that answered my question, my second question. So how you stay prepared, you keep trailers loaded with chainsaws that are tuned up,
yes,
full
sir.
Of fuel, ready to go, trailer with a bathroom. So when you hear, you're ready to hit the ground, you can literally hitch up and go.
We were in Bowie, Texas, 20 hours after the effect of a F1 tornado up there. It was smaller, but the only people that were on the ground ahead of us was the State Forestry Department.
That's impressive, because they can't really get, when you're in a disaster, you do need first responders, because the other guys take a minute to get their big organizations together. They're very helpful, but it does take, you know, an elephant moves slower than a jaguar.
For sure.
So you're kind of a jaguar with chainsaws,
right?
I would guess,
yeah,
for this event.
And really the thing that sets our team apart is we've been really blessed by God to have the resources to have not one but two different Bobcat skid steers. So it's got a grapple on it. It can carry 1,000 pounds at once because we're retirees. And
well, to be fair, we're also a town of Bubbas who don't miss a chance to play with a chainsaw.
Oh, we love making noise.
Or yes. Bobcat. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I'd be happy to be on that team. I mean, it's not a bad day when you have a chainsaw involved and nothing else.
That's right. That's right.
So that's good. And you've got, you mentioned the vast area that you've covered. What made you decide to start this? What need, you mentioned you saw that they were just a little slow. What made you think that Lutheran Church could handle this?
I think it was just the Spirit's prompting. Lonnie, it's I've never been in a tornado myself. Grew up in West Texas, but
I'm sorry.
Well, we were taught to, in Odessa, we were taught to love God and hate Midland.
There you go. That's isn't it's the only other thing in West Texas.
But to see the difference you can make, not just in people's surroundings, we've tarped house roofs. We've replaced roofs. Our leader for a number of years was a retired contractor, and he taught us how to sheetrock and do all different kinds of things. And just every step along the way, we've seen God's thumbprint on it and been able to help people both physically and spiritually.
You know, we had a man here that lived in Tyler in the past. He's no longer with us. His name is Don Pinkerton. He was one of the first ones that did Habitat for Humanity here and was a big supporter of Habitat. He's also one of the best men that I've ever known and really wish he would have been running for election. But Lord had different ideas, I guess, on that. But the fact that I think I say all this to say that I think churches, that's the good work churches need to do, is the work to help people. Well, go to them.
Yeah, it's like being in the image of Jesus with gloves on.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I mean. And that's really a time when I had a complete house fire in 2017. And I do know that when these types of things happen, your vulnerability to spirituality or being involved in it definitely increases. Because you, yes, you want to look for answers. You want to know why. You want to know, was it something I did?
And it begins just by knowing that people care about you. You know, strangers care about you. They're there to help and for no other reason, no accolades. You mentioned some of the larger relief organizations. They do great, great work. We're small. We're quick. We're... we are workers without egos.
That's great. And of course, I mention it often on this show. Tyler's one of the most philanthropic, helpful communities that I've ever lived in. I mean, it's amazing because there are, in fact, the resources here. The church members, a lot of them, we have a good economy here. We have oil and gas and medical, which are two very profitable industries, which when you are in management and ownership of those companies, provide with funds to do things like donate to churches, to do stuff like this. Do you have a story you remember about one of the families that you helped out that sticks out to you?
A couple of them, and I'm going to go back to the time we spent in Beaumont following Hurricane Harvey. It was a two-story house. I've got pictures to show that throughout the community, people's entire belongings were on the street. I mean, they had just emptied their houses out. They had 54 inches of rain. 54 inches of rain. This family, the man worked for a refinery. He was not home. His wife and two kids were at home. They were actually rescued out of their house by boat by the Tyler Fire Department, who went down.
Oh, that's great.
And it ended up she was a cousin to one of our church members here in Tyler. They had a disconnected garage. And it was two-story as well, and we were able to make a small apartment downstairs for them to live in. So that was a great story. Another time, a single lady, I guess in her mid-50s, her house had needed to have sheetrock the entire 8 feet up the wall. So we stripped it down. But she said, you know, what's this going to cost? Because I've been quoted $15,000. And it was a modest home. And we said, you know, we'll sell up for a hug or a handshake. And she was just reduced to tears.
Of course. I mean, that's so much money. when it comes to someone in that situation. And by the way, that's just part of what she's going to have to do to dig out of the hole.
You're right.
You know, so that's very interesting. Now, I'm not the greatest at segues, but I'm going to segue into pies. Let's talk pie.
Well, it's interesting because this is pie time. This is fair time for us here in East Texas with the East Texas State Fair. By the way, I'm sure your listeners know that it will no longer be on the Harvey Hall grounds or the Brookshire Convention Center grounds now.
It's now in a salvage yard.
Former salvage yard.
There's kid the fair.
The main entrance is going to be just outside of the city limits on Highway 64 West.
It's going to be actually on the other side of what used to be the front of that business, correct? Yeah,
correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the salvage yard.
The actual gate to get into the parking will be on Paxton Lane.
Okay.
And there, I think, as I understand it, Roy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's also an entrance off of 31 West?
Yeah, Paxton Lane runs from 64 to 31. So you can enter either on 64 or 31 on Paxton Lane. And then the main gate to the parking, which is free parking at the fair this year, is on Paxton Lane. And it's about in the middle of the whole block.
Have you guys seen the fairgrounds?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And? What's your opinion?
Oh, it's great. It's really, really nice. It's open more.
Good.
Everything. There'll be actually 28 food vendors out there, and got a lot more exhibits in a way. They have a motocross show that's going to be there. They got the petting zoo back. They got pony rides this year back, and they got several exhibit buildings out there. They'll be exhibiting everything. The only thing that they don't have out there this year, excuse me, is the livestock, and it's taking place in Athens.
Thank God.
You know, they plan to have it back at the fairgrounds. They just don't have the facilities this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry, farmers. I'm going to enjoy this year's fair without the wafty joy of animals.
Trinity Lutheran Church has been doing this at the fair since the late 50s, and we've always had a booth there, and it's totally new for us and totally new fairgrounds, but we have a trailer this year that we'll be selling our pies out of, and we have, you know, the disaster relief team mostly is guys. We do have some women with us, but we have a great group of ladies at the church, and we call them the pie ladies, and they make pies for us at the church, and then we take them out to the fairgrounds and sell them, and we make chocolate, coconut, and pecan and buttermilk, and we sell it out there. And then the money that we raise out there at the fair, we give 10% to an organization every year in Tyler.
Called Save a Life Choices, is it correct?
Yes. Save a Life Choices is an organization we partner or were chosen this year, and it's a nonprofit organization here in East Texas that provides confidential service for women who are victims or at risk of human trafficking. We'll be giving 10% to them from our profits that we make out there. You can also go on our website and order pies and pick them up at the church if you can't make it out to the fair. But let me tell you, a lot of people say, well, I've never had a buttermilk pie, and we'll let them have a sample of it. And let me tell you, they'll buy a whole pie.
Oh, it tastes great.
Yeah. And we sell whole pies out at the fair, too. And the whole pies at the fair are $18. And then we sell it by slice, which is $3.50 a slice.
Fair prices.
And we also do flavored coffee and ice cream floats and bottle sodas out there.
So we're wanting the people to come out to the fair and buy your pies.
Yes.
Okay.
We're the only nonprofit at the fair. We're the only nonprofit at the fair.
That's shocking.
Yeah. We've got the commercial kitchen that we make them fresh each and every day, and we shuttle them back and forth to the fairgrounds. So they're fresh, they're tasty. Many businesses bring their office staff out to enjoy pies.
That's nice. That's what I mean about the environment here, the people here. You can put a message out like that, and they'll come and support you, and they'll bring their staff.
I actually like to take take it to my dentist, to my CPA, to professionals that serve me during the year. And it's amazing how they remember your name.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime it's associated with food.
And to realize how many pies we make over 1,000 pies, you know, and we start off with 1,000 and we sell every one of them. And last year, I think we did 1,100, I think, a little over 1,000 pies.
Nine days.
Can they go to your URL and get one?
You can order them online, yes.
Okay, you can order them online at tlctyler.org. That's TLC, and that's the LC is for Lutheran Church. It's Trinity Lutheran Church. So it's tlctyler.org. You can order these pies for yourself online, I guess, and have them. Are they delivered? Do they come and pick them up?
They have to come pick them up. And okay. According to the website, they have times where you can choose when you're going to come by and pick it up, and they'll have it ready for you.
So is it a 24/7 operation for the time of the fair? Not 24/7, but most of the day?
The days start early, yes, okay. For the ladies and the pie guys.
How many pies might they make a day?
110. Mm-hmm. From scratch?
From scratch. Wow. It's all done from scratch. And the more, you know, I call them and say, hey, this is how many I have left at the fair. And sometimes they're like, okay, we'll make some more, you know, and everything.
That would be fun to watch.
It's they take it very seriously. Yes. The pie ladies don't just let anybody walk in and start fluting their pies. There's kind of a status to be a pie lady.
Okay, guys, here's my wormhole for the conversation for the show. Okay, I think most people that go to church are good, but well, I mentioned to you Art that I was born and raised for the first few years by a Southern Baptist church, New Boston First Baptist Church, which my grandmother was a constant fixture in the kitchen, constantly. How, when it comes to churches that try and do stuff like this, and not diminishing our testosterone input, how important are these ladies who give this time and who, when you call them, say, okay, I'll be right there, and they come. And for those of you who don't know, if you've never been, and by the way, for those of you Gen Zs that have never even seen anything cooked, to make a pie is a rather laborious exercise. You have to work with the dough until it's a certain way. You have to do, anyone can make a pie. Not everyone can make a good pie. And I assure you, every one of these pies that comes out of the production facility with these ladies is a fantastic pie. So I say all this to ask you, Art, how important are those type women in the daily routine of churches, from the office to doing stuff like pies or whatever, just as constant support? Because I honestly think women are better than men here.
Words really fall short, Lonnie. Honestly.
Well, we're on the radio, so you got to find one.
Invaluable, precious.
I understand. It was a
tough minded, sweet spirited. The women are the backbone of the church.
Yes.
The local church.
They are. And that's what I kind of wanted to get at.
And, you know, the
backbone
heartbeat.
Of our family.
Yes.
I mean, we're told what to do. We're told, our boss tells us when to come into work. We work until we're done, and then we go home. And, you know, obviously a lot of women in today's world work, so they do the same thing. But I think when you say they hold the church together, it not only a physical thing, but a spiritual and emotional connection that we all have with these type of women. Because, you know, they're not I'm not going to give all women credit in the world, because they all don't do things like this. Okay, but the ones that do seem very special to me, and they do seem like they're the glue. And I guess that's the same truth for Trinity Lutheran.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking biblically here. In the Gospels, Jesus had two very, very close friends, Martha and Mary. Their brother Lazarus, he raised from the dead. He often dined with them. He encouraged them. They encouraged him. Women are close to our God's heart, as all people are.
You're right. We all are. And men, just like the I'll call it the Chainsaw Brigade. Okay. Yeah. So with the with this effort, I mean, men are more suited to this task.
Yes.
Than women. Send your emails. but it's true. It's just a hard truth. But that's something, like I said at the beginning of the interview, that I realized men enjoy that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I bet it's no problem at all finding guys to head off to Louisiana with a truck full of chainsaws. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. And I think I don't think the women are as thrilled as we are to go off with chainsaws as they are to make pies, but it's the dutiful nature that they have, which I think separates us.
We all are needed to use our gifts.
So I'll remind everybody again that Trinity Lutheran Church will be selling pies at the State Fair. Do you have the dates of the State Fair?
It's the 20th of September to the 29th, okay. Yes.
9 days to get pies.
Yeah.
And over 1,000 pies, like 100 pies a day or more.
Mm-hmm. We're not usually open on the last day, Sunday, because we're usually sold out by then.
Speaking of pies, let me throw this in, too. When it gets closer to Thanksgiving, those ladies get back in there and hustle them up again, and they'll make 700-800 pies in 4 days. Mm-hmm. And sell to the community.
Yes. Okay. You can go to the website and order them. But it's first come, first serve, because they only make 700 or 800 pies.
Hold on. I think I've got you here. Here's Lonnie's take on this whole situation for Thanksgiving. All you ladies that are incapable of making a good pie, which is probably a high number, I'm going to guess under 50, are pie challenged. So if you want to give your family a great tasting pie this Thanksgiving, instead of just a sorry one that you made up because you've just never really practiced your culinary skills, you can go to tlctyler.org. That's tlctyler.org, and make your family think you're a 72-year-old Southern woman. I mean, I don't know a better opportunity.
Amen.
Yeah, amen to that.
Okay, we got a few minutes. We've talked about the pies. You know, you're here to promote these pies, but also to promote your church's work with these pies and with the community, the philanthropic nature.
The pies are just an entry point, but it gives us a chance to interact with our community. For what it's worth, you have to be lost to find Trinity Lutheran Church. We don't have good visibility.
Well, you couldn't have segued better than that, Art. I know you're talking about a physical location, okay? But I want to ask you now. We are going through one of the most. I'm 58. I can't remember a more contentious time in my lifetime. A time where more people are seeking some sort of solace in something to find a relief from the just never-ending train wreck that we seem to be living in now. What does the church need to do? The churches, obviously your church, but different churches. What can you offer some of these people that are looking for this?
In various ways, we get to offer hope to the hopeless. True hope is not wishful thinking. It's not pie in the sky by and by. Hope is what Jesus Christ gives those who look to him in faith as a guarantee of what's yet to come.
I think a lot of these Gen Zs and younger millennials, when they think about church, a lot of times they think about Joel Osteen, okay? And there's nothing wrong with Joel Osteen. I certainly won't criticize him here, but they think this mega church. It's not really the original role churches were designed in. Yours far more kind of is closer to the point of the spear, so to speak, for gathering souls. That really came out as a bad illustration. But it's the point, you want to gather souls. You want to create a loving place for them to go to. That's what I get. Do you sense that with the younger people that we have more work to do than we've had in the past with getting them involved in the church?
Without a doubt.
And why do you think that is? Because they've been, like you take a place like Tyler. Tyler is, I'll say, well-churched. Okay, there's a lot of churches here. So there's a very good chance that that child grew up in a home that went to church. So, and if they're not going now as 20-year-olds and 20 to 27-year-olds, I'll let you answer the question. How do you think we can reach out to those young people to get them involved with us?
It's going to take sharing the gospel of love. You know, God is love, and when our lives have been changed by His love, we need to stand ready to go out and share that love by taking the initiative. And maybe it's with disaster relief as one ministry, or smiling and handing a person a slice of pie, but to give genuine love to people that have never really understood it.
It's a good way to put it, because they've had it. I'm not sure they've understood it.
Right. And I don't think it's a multifaceted problem. Our educational system has, by and large, taken God out of the equation. Our affluence is another factor that makes it...
Isn't it harder for a rich man to get to heaven than it is for a camel's butt to go through an eye of a needle?
Well, I don't think butt was a part of that. Maybe just the camel.
Oh, was it? I thought it... See? I mean, I'm my own special guy, but okay, harder for a camel to get through the eye of a needle...
That's correct.
...than it is for a wealthy man to get into
You're
heaven.
Right. You're right.
So I usually mess stuff up, but I get the basic understanding of it. That's true, and I think that's a good point. I think affluence, it lets us replace sometimes some of the joys we should be getting somewhere else with material things.
You know, the social media, we're disconnected from people because we can do everything with clicks of a button. Youth don't even really know how to talk to one another.
This is a very interesting question. Do pastors now, and to some degree, ask people to turn their phones off at the beginning of the service? Because I would if I was a pastor.
No, I think we've got enough etiquette with that.
Kids are being asked to put their phones in bags for the day at school, which I think is the best thing we've done in 15 years.
A number of people look up scriptures on their phones.
Yeah.
See how quickly you can become the old man on the porch barking, get off my yard. I mean, it started in my early 50s and it hasn't stopped. But I do see your point. A lot might follow through the scripture. You may put your scripture online or, you know, your what do you call it? It's not the scripture, but what you do, what the pastor leads you in church, the service.
Right.
Bulletin.
Right.
I mean, usually we're used to reading something physical that
paper.
I would doodle on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and now we've got them on screens.
There you go. So really just showing them what you're saying is just showing them the values that have always been in the church.
Yeah, that personal care and contact with a God who's bigger than us.
Which, by the way, a God that would want you being philanthropic, a God that would want you to take care of people who had less and people in trouble, and a God who cares. So, I want to remind you guys about the pies at the state fair, the Tyler Fair, excuse me. You can go to tlctyler.org to order your pies, and you can go and pick them up. And you said the place was hard to find, so let's just go ahead and tell them where your church is.
Yeah, you go west on Highway 64 to the city limits, and it's on the south side of the road, the office complex for the fair.
By the airport? Or not that far.
Far.
On the other side of the fair.
Outside.
The church is actually off Golden Road.
Okay.
And everything. But the pies that we'll be selling at the fairgrounds is at the fair.
Is at the fair.
Right.
But your church is on Golden Road.
Just
correct.
I know where it is. It's up in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's up on a hill.
Yes.
Yes, that is... Mm-hmm. Impossible to find.
So our contemporary service is called Ignite, which was really interesting a few years ago when there was a number of church burnings. And I was there late one night and a patrolman came up because he was just making sure everybody was safe. And he saw our sign that said Ignite, and he thought that was quite interesting in light of the fires that were going on.
Well, let's hope these pies ignite a fundraising boon for you guys. Art, Roy, thank you so much for joining me today for In Focus. I hope that you guys have a wonderful drive, and good luck.
Thank you so much,
Lonnie. Thank you very much.
Folks, thanks for listening to In Focus here on KTBB. I'm Jeff Rourke. I'm the program director of KTBB with a quick editorial note. In the program today, it was mentioned that the entrance to the East Texas State Fair is on Paxton Street. That's actually on Patton Street, as in General George S. Patton from World War II. Again, that's on Patton Street, the East Texas State Fair, the entrance there to the fairgrounds. Thanks very much to Lonnie Johnson for doing such a great job producing In Focus. And thanks to Trinity Lutheran Church Pastor Emeritus Art Hill and to Roy Bell for taking part in the program today. Thank you, East Texas, for listening. We'll see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.